If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic law.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of Islamic Laws. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother, for accepting our invitation. Well, dear audience, on this series of this program, we are going to talk about the Islamic rules regarding khums, according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Well, the first question today is, a person deposited an amount with a Hajj travel agency in order to perform Mustahab Hajj, but he died before he could visit the house of Allah the Exalted. What is the ruling concerning his money? is it obligatory to spend it for performance of Hajj on his behalf? Is it subject to khums? According to the fatwas of Ayatollah Khamenei, we are ready to listen to your answer, dear Sheikh Javid.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The value of the Hajj travel document obtained in exchange for the money deposited in the account of the Hajj agency is considered a part of his inheritance. And of course, in the inheritance is not used to perform Hajj on behalf of the deceased person, and it cannot be used for any other purposes as well. It is necessary that the inheritance is divided among the heirs. Now there are, for example, he has got some children here. He has got sons and daughters. And that part of the money which is deposited in the Hajj agency's account must be withdrawn, uh-huh. And it should be divided among the heirs, among the people who inherit the deceased man, of course. In the event that they allow or they all agree to use the money to perform Hajj on behalf of the deceased father, uh-huh. Of course they can do so, and it's good, and it's very important and very much recommended for the children to perform Hajj on behalf of their parents, and of course one of them should volunteer to perform the Hajj. And khums is not payable on the inheritance. If it is inherited, khums is not payable. Generally speaking, khums is not payable on inheritance, uh-huh. No matter how much the quantity of the. If it is in billions, again, it's not payable. Khums is not payable on inheritance. No matter how much you receive from your father, from your deceased father, you are not supposed to pay khums from that amount of money.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And actually, doing a Hajj on behalf of him is due to actually the agreement of all of his children.
There's also one thing that maybe it's some father before the signs of death approaching him, he leaves a will, uh-huh. stating or directing his children to perform Hajj in the event that he dies. Okay, uh-huh. In the middle of going to Hajj. So in that case, if one of the children accept to perform Hajj, because it's very much important that the children accept to perform Hajj. Okay, if otherwise they do not accept, or if they are not in a position to perform Hajj, it's not necessary for them to perform Hajj. In the event that they accept and they say, okay, yes, father, we are going to perform Hajj on your behalf, and he dies resting assured that one of his children is going to perform Hajj on his behalf, of course that person who undertakes to perform Hajj on his behalf, he should do it using the money left by his father. Okay. The money that is deposited, obviously, with the Hajj agency. And if there's no money deposited there, they can use one-third of his property, uh-huh. one-third of his asset to spend on the expenses.
To perform Hajj.
Yeah, to perform Hajj, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, dear Sheikh Javid. Dear audience, stay tuned with IRIB English Radio. We'll be right back. La ilaha
illallah, Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Islamic Laws, and dear brother Sheikh Javid is going to answer our questions regarding khums based on the fatwas of Ayatollah Khamenei. One of the audience has sent us this question. An insurance company owes me some amount of money instead of medical expenses, and I will receive it one of these days. Is it subject to khums?
According to Ayatollah Khamenei, the amount paid for treatment and the like from one's income and then, for example, returned by the insurance company one day, sooner or later, are not ruled as new income because it's the same amount that you spent a few days earlier. And now the same amount of money is returned to you. You are getting back what you had spent. So the insurance company is supposed to return the very money of the person who spent his money on treating his illnesses. And if it is not spent on living expenses until the end of the khums year, of course, it will be liable to khums, and therefore he should pay khums from the money which is not spent and over which 1 year has passed. And of course, if it is returned after the end of the khums year, then Ayatollah Khamenei says that its khums must be paid immediately because a year has already passed over it, and therefore khums should be paid. So the main point here is to mention when it comes to the money you receive from the insurance company after 1 month or two, because that's what we understand from the insurance company, people who insure themselves. They visit a doctor and then the doctor prescribes medicines, and then the individual gets their medicine or the money from the insurance company. The insurance company gives them the same money that you spent few days back. So actually the insurance company is returning you the money, you the money that you spent. So in the event that 1 year runs over the money, it becomes liable to khums, and you should pay khums from it.
Okay, thank you, dear Sheikh Javed. And the last question in this program, is khums applicable to the money that I have saved from my mother's salary to purchase things for my wedding in the future?
That's also a good question. I know if you have saved the very money you received as your monthly salary, you must pay its khums at the end of the khums year, unless you want to buy necessary items for your wedding within several days. For example, if in the near future, let's say in 1 week or 2 weeks, you are going to use the money to spend the money or to use the money to buy things you you need for your wedding, of course, khums is not paid on the money, even if the khums date passes. Because you need those items, you badly need those items on your wedding day. And this is, of course, not the opinion of the other religious authorities. Ayatollah Sistani, for example, says that khums should be paid from the money which you have saved up.
In order to a special purpose.
Yeah, actually. to purchase certain things you need on your wedding day or for your wedding. No matter how much badly you need the money, you should pay khums from it. But Ayatollah Khamenei has a more softer approach. He is lenient and he is flexible when it comes to the wedding expenses. He says that wedding expenses are very costly, and some families do not afford it. And therefore, if they save money for the wedding expenses, and a year runs over the savings, still they are not supposed to pay khums, provided that the money is used to buy something within a few days. You know, within several days of the week or the month, you know. And it should not be kept there in the savings account for another year. Otherwise, that quite suggests that he or she did not need it in the first place.
And the purpose is important for wedding.
Yeah, for wedding, of course.
It is permissible, actually.
It is permissible to keep it.
Not for any other purpose,
purposes, yes.
Thank you, dear Sheikh Javed, for your nice answers. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can follow us on social media. Just type Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, fi amanallah and goodbye. رحمن رحيم منان كريم
الظاهر والباطن على